When you have money, you start investing in your future. When you start investing in your future, you start worrying you'll make mistakes.
Oops.
When you start worrying you'll make mistakes, you can't sleep at night and watch infomercials.
Pick up cat hairs from clothes.
When you watch infomercials, you think you can get rich by placing tiny classified ads in newspapers. When you place tiny classified ads in newspapers, you subscribe to those papers to make sure your ad is running. When you subscribe to a bunch of newspapers, they pile up at your house, making it look like you're not home. When you look like you're not home, Girl Scouts don't come to your door. When Girl Scouts don't come to your door, you don't get to buy Girl Scout cookies. Don't miss out on Girl Scout cookies. Get rid of get-rich-quick schemes from infomercials and upgrade to Money Talks.
This is Money Talks.
And we're back. See, I don't miss Girl Scout cookies.
No.
And I don't buy into the infomercials.
I don't know. I tell you what, the Samoas are awful good.
Oh, Thin Mints, baby. Thin Mints.
Yeah, Tagalongs is my poison.
Right. Yeah. So I'm Bill Aiko, along with Troy Harmon, KC Smith. My friends call me Dollar Bill. This week, dollar for sure, bill. Dollar bill. Yeah. Last week could have been, last week was all right. Probably 75 cents.
That's inflation.
Is it right? Yeah. You can reach us 770-429-9166 during the week, or you can reach us at 1-855-429-9166. And, of course, we do answer questions via email, so you can send them to drgene@hensler.com, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R. .com. Speaking of which, I think we've got a bunch of questions, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We've got a pile of questions. Got one here from Tyrone from Peachtree City. He says, I've been keeping an eye on Navient Corporation. It's dropping into a range where I'm interested in buying, but first I wanted to get your opinions. Would you prefer Nelnet? These two companies both deal with education loans. Navient's ticker is NAVI. Nelnet is NNI. Biggest issue that I have with either one of them, long-term growth, 4.5%. If you look at the five-year earnings growth on Navient, it's non-existent. They do have a very attractive dividend, 4.65%, and it is well covered almost 2.8 times. But it's just not a very profitable company. Again, not growing very fast. It does not meet our investment criteria, which there's some decent companies that do. They just usually their financials are not sufficient.
Troy, if college is going to be free here pretty soon, then why do we need to worry about that?
No, you know what? I actually think that is a potential risk. I hope that we don't go there. To me, that's there's a lot that doesn't get discussed about the free college method. I think what happens if you had free college, and this is my editorial opinion at this point, but think about this. They have free college in the United Kingdom, in Britain. And the problem is not everybody, there's not a place for everybody. So only like the top 35 to 40% actually get to participate, but guess who pays for it? Everybody pays for free college through their taxes and all that thing. So, you know, it's not like the consumer model that we have in the United States where anybody can go to school and you just have to pay for it. So getting back to Nelnet, it too has a very slow growth. Its earnings growth have been below 5% over the last 5 years. It pays a dividend as well, but it's much smaller at 1.27. You know, if I had to buy one or the other, I would probably buy NAVI, Navient, because of the dividend that is well covered. But I believe you could do better elsewhere.
All right. So Will from Fairburn says, I'd like to put my children as my primary beneficiary on my IRA account. My wife's 20 years younger than me, so I hope you have an answer to this, too, because I'm not sure I know the answer to this one. So I'm able to use the table that allows me to take a smaller required minimum distribution, or RMD. Can I still use this table if my wife is not the primary beneficiary?
No.
Oh, really?
You cannot. So the the beneficiary is the person that dictates whether or not you can use the joint and last survivor expectancy table. Otherwise, you would use the uniform life. So the only time you use that joint table is if your spouse is the primary beneficiary and he or she is 10 years younger than you are. So in this case, that is a benefit. He gets to take lower RMDs. We would recommend leaving the wife as the primary. You could still put the children on there as contingent beneficiaries. So nothing wrong with that. That doesn't impact the RMD. But taking the wife off as the primary and putting the children on would cause them to use the uniform lifetime table, which would increase the amount of the required minimum distribution.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that was an easy question. Sure, I'm glad you were here, Casey.
That's right.
I would have had to look that one up. All right.
He's so, got you back.
Yeah, let's see. So who else do we...
How about Marshall from Peachtree Corners?
Yeah, let's do that.
Marshall wants to know, why would an investment firm recommend as many as 12 different mutual funds for IRA diversity? Seems like a lot to look at and manage. Well, if you're talking about IRA, and I initially thought this question was about 401ks, but either way, if you've got an IRA and you want a good diverse plan, you stop and think about it. If most mutual funds are divided by the size of the overall investment or the underlying investment, so you have large cap and then mid cap and small cap, and then from there you have a core, which is kind of between a growth strategy and a value strategy. Just in that alone you got 12. Then if you wanted to get international exposure, you know, you might have some of that. It seems like 12 is probably a whole lot. The biggest thing that I would do is make sure that when you look at the funds themselves, sometimes you'll see a large cap growth, a large cap blend, and a large cap value. All three will have the largest exposure in their all their holdings will be something like an Apple. So one of the biggest companies by market cap
can be in all three in funds.
Absolutely.
So all of a sudden, instead of having 3% in Apple, you got 9.
Right. And that's exactly what you need to be careful of when you're looking at something like this.
And then now, you couple that with an international fund that's really a worldwide fund.
Right. And it might have Apple in there as
exactly.
well. Yeah. So what you need to do is you can always see, you can go on the internet, you can go to Morningstar. Free of charge, look at the holdings within most mutual funds that might be offered. What I would recommend is look at what they hold, not so much what they say they are. This goes down to they might even be trying to get you some sort of a tilt where you're more aggressive or less aggressive. You know, you might have a standard allocation, say 50% to large cap and 30% to mid cap and 20% to small cap, and then from there you can take some percentage off of any one of those places and get yourself some foreign exposure. But at the end of the day, if that's just a standard something that they would give to anybody, and say you're in an industrial company, you work for Lockheed Martin, which is a local firm. We know that industrials are very cyclical. So when you have a recession, not only is your job potentially in jeopardy, but your IRA funds might have also contracted. So if you've got somebody like that, you might want to get them in a sector that actually holds up better. So you put a portion of their money in something like consumer staples that have the reputation and history where they don't decline near as much as a cyclical industrial company. So
you actually have to do a little bit of what?
You're going to have to do some research, a little bit of homework.
Heaven forbid, 770-429-9166.
Absolutely.
Some planning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where we live. We can help you with a question like this, but there are plenty of reasons why you might see more than 8 or 9 mutual funds in a recommendation. Biggest problem I have with this is somebody's recommended this to you and you obviously don't understand it. So
right.
They should make sure that you understand what it is you've got and why they recommended what they recommended. So
yeah.
We can help with that for sure.
Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
Yep.
If you're in a spot like that, it's surely there's been some sort of a miss.
I would say so. All right, so let's go back for a minute here and let's talk about planning, okay? And the the mutual funds scenario of 12 funds.
Sure.
And you and I may disagree here because I think 12 is a little bit much, but we can argue that fact, good, bad, or indifferent. I think it's kind of I need to be careful because my fellow registered investment advisors are out there who might take umbrage with my statement here. But so we're going to put you in mutual funds, charge you 1% to put you in mutual funds that charge what?
1%.
Generally.
Yeah.
Some lower now. I mean, you can get
right,
some
yeah,
a little lower, but
fees
you know
are
what
getting,
I'm saying? I don't know. It feels to me like, okay, so I'm earning my money because of what? I'm reading the mutual fund, the Morningstar sheet, and it tells me Apple's here and Apple's there. And you know what I'm saying? Whereas
right.
we tend to like building your own individual mutual fund.
Sure.
I.e. individual stocks that
right.
make up the fund and then putting the savings back in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a bent we have. That doesn't mean we don't have clients who have mutual funds, because we do have clients who
right.
don't like individual stocks, even though the mutual funds own individual stocks. It's a little different because you're not tracking, you know, McDonald's every day. You know?
Right.
Well,
there's
if it's a smaller client that doesn't have enough assets to be adequately diversified, then
right.
maybe a mutual fund
yeah,
is
right.
is the way to go, or
right.
an ETF.
Yeah,
right.
you could argue that you're buying – the difference is you're buying a single stock or you're buying a portfolio, and that's what they're looking. They're
right.
looking at somebody that would – a professional that would assemble a portfolio. They can go make a single purchase, and they have exposure to the market instead of a single company.
Sure.
But, Bill – I don't disagree with you that 12 is quite a bit. In fact, if you think about it, it's not every day that I would ever go and say, you know, you need large value, large blend, and large growth
right.
all together at one time. Usually growth is for those with a healthier risk appetite. Value is something that's going to grow more slowly. Depends on what portion of the business cycle you're in. You know, coming off of a recession, you would expect that those value stocks had been beaten up pretty significantly and probably will appreciate much more quickly in a recovery.
Stocks, right?
No, actually, believe it or not, growth stocks do well during the recession when things are bad because there is very little or no growth to be found. And
that's
I will
why
tell
he's
you
a
this,
CFA and I'm just a CFP.
That's right.
This is one of the other things. Now, what we talk about a lot, and it's sometimes hard to find, is quality. And
yeah.
by that we mean companies that have, I won't call them all pristine balance sheets, but very clean financials. If they have debt, they have significant earnings to cover it. You don't have to sit around and worry. Now, as soon as I said that, you know, it's a bankrupt proof, it is not, but it's companies that are unlikely to bankrupt, which is our very first step in investment. So if you went out and just bought the S&P 500, you're not going to get a high-quality portfolio, and that's what a lot of folks are doing these days, you know, with a passive type of strategy. But when you deal with a mutual fund, you can actually find managers like us who look at that first. You look at companies that have high quality, you know, good practices where they're not borrowing so much that they've over-leveraged and they've got – now, those type of companies that do have lots of leverage, they actually rebound much quicker during a rebound from recession too, during the growth from recession. So
just to boil it down, though, Troy, I mean, basically what you're saying is, if high quality, it's not going to grow probably quite as much in a good market.
Right.
But the important thing is, it's not going to fall as far in a bad market.
Absolutely.
And so if you think about a portfolio, if 2007 to 2009, we lost what, 52% on the S&P?
52, 53.
So if you lost that much, if your portfolio went down that far, you would have had to make 100% to get back to where you started from.
Absolutely.
If you only lost 25%, you'd only have to make 33% to get back where you started.
Absolutely. And that's
over a long period of time, you're going to probably do better to not have to play catch up as much.
Right. So what you find is if you're just looking through a bunch of mutual funds and you only had one metric to discover whether or not it was a high quality, or maybe even that it had bonds, but if you look at the volatility as shown by the standard deviation, you could find that number, you can find that metric on Morningstar and figure that out. But more often than not, the managers tell the story, and the story's available. You know, we look for companies that have very good balance sheets that, you know, that they're not going to worry about bankruptcy, that, you know, they're not borrowing more than they can actually service in debt,
right.
Things of that nature. So, yeah, absolutely, Casey. They don't go down as much. They might not go up as much.
What number on the standard deviation am I looking for?
Well, I guess it all depends. Usually some of the most risky stocks that we've seen, our portfolios rather that we see, are in the 18-19% range. If you're looking at it from an absolute range, bonds are going to have a standard deviation more in the 1%. So probably somewhere in the middle, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's going to get you in kind of a.
And that's basically saying that's sort of the high and the low of where the returns have fallen for that stock, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's
portfolio.
Yeah, it's the daily change in price on average over a long period of time. Usually we measure standard deviation over a 2 or 3 year period. And you can look at every stock and all of their different deviations. When you're looking at mutual funds, you're looking at a portfolio. So it's going to be it mutes it some, the argument for diversification. You know, you got one that's very volatile and another that's very volatile. The only difference is they work in opposite directions, so it mutes that volatility. That's kind of the basis for a diversification in your portfolio. But yeah, you get a stock portfolio that's out around 17, 18, 19%. That's very that's a lot of volatility.
Well,
very risky in the
finance
industry.
I don't remember a whole
industry.
Lot from statistics, but I do know that in general, if you're looking at a normally distributed return curve.
The bell curve.
So then the standard deviation, almost all of the returns over the history that you're measuring would fall within, what, 3 standard deviations of the average?
Two standard. And a single standard deviation is about 68% of all of the
possible returns.
Possible change.
So if you're looking at a 20% standard deviation, then two
that's
of those
wide.
Would be 40%.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a big,
right.
big drop.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can lose 40 or make 40, right?
That's right.
If you
yeah.
assume it was zero.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's the way in the finance industry we talk about risk is according mostly to that standard deviation. And the lower it is, the more closely you are to bonds.
Got it.
And the higher it is to equity. So
market up or down?
I say up.
I'm going to say up to.
Wow. That took a lot of thought.
I know. I'm going to go flat.
Bill, you do flat all the time.
Whatever. I mean, eventually I'm going to be right.
You will.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to win the lottery
right.
someday.
Quick, keep swinging. You're going to hit something one day.
I'm just telling you. It's going to happen now. More importantly, are the Falcons going to win or not?
They better win.
I think the Falcons
this is
likely
a key game.
To win, yeah.
All right.
I think they win.
Well, it's been a slice of heaven. We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.